بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد وقال تعالى اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر إلى آخر الآية صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس أنفعهم للناس وعن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طوبى للشام قلنا لأي ذلك يا رسول الله قال لأن ملائكة الرحمن باسطة أجنحتها عليها رواه الترمذي Respected brothers and elders in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, with the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was honored during the month of Ramadan to visit the Turkish and Syrian borders on a relief mission. Before I continue with my report back, I would just like to give you an overview of the sacredness, the blessedness of this land of Sham. In today's time, the land of Sham encompasses Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, and even the southern parts of Turkey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله. Allah talks about the surrounding areas of Masjid al-Aqsa الذي باركنا حوله. Which Allah says, we have blessed the surrounding areas of Masjid al-Aqsa. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, glad tidings to the land of Sham. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, we asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَأَيِّ ذَٰلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ For what reason is glad tidings for the land of Sham? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لِأَنَّ مَلَائِكَةَ الرَّحْمَانِ For verily, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their wings are spread out on this land of Sham. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their wings are spread out on this land of Sham. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina. Oh Allah, bless us in our land of Sham. This was the reason that in that time, the food of Madina Munawwara used to come from the land of Sham. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in the land of Sham, there are 40 abdal, 40 pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back the azab. These 40 abdal, at any given time, there are 40 abdal till the day of Qiyamah. Respected brothers, the land of Sham, Palestine, Syria, Jordan, many Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam have walked on the land of Sham, are buried in the land of Sham, are born in the land of Sham. Musa alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, during Miraj, the night of Miraj, every single Nabi was present in the land of Sham. There are thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhu buried in the land of Sham. In one area we visited, there was a graveyard which had 27 Sahaba radiallahu anhu buried in. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, his qabr Mubarak is found in Syria. Khalid bin Walid in the Battle of Uhud, he was on the side of the enemy. He was against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was he who went from behind the archers to the mountain pass. Later on, this Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu became a Sahabi. Such a great Sahabi that he became the commander of the Muslim army. This Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he is buried in the country of Sham. His source can be viewed in the Topkapi Museum in Turkey. Respected brothers, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the major signs of Qiyamah, will descend on the eastern minaret of the Jami Masjid in Damascus, which is the city in Syria. That will be the major sign of Qiyamah. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend on the eastern side of the Jami Masjid. Now if you look at the turmoil in the Middle East today, why are these events taking place? Then we have to look back at Quran and Hadith. We find in the Hadith, which can be found in Mustadrak of Hakim, in Kitab al-Fitan of Allama Nu'aym bin Hammad, Muhammad Tanwi also narrates this Hadith, that very close to Qiyamah, there will be a tyrant ruler. There will be a tyrant ruler over the land of Sham. Outwardly, he will be Muslim, but he will not be Muslim. He will massacre the people to the extent that he will murder the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you find in Sham today, there are many, many Sayyid families which are found in the land of Sham. So this tyrant ruler, he will murder the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to such an extent that two Christian armies will get involved in this war. And these Christian armies will be rivals. And this war will spill into Constantinople in today's time, it is called Istanbul, Turkey. And thereafter, the Christian armies, they will be victorious. They will sign a peace treaty amongst themselves. And that will be the event leading up to the coming of Imam Mahdi. So, respected brothers, the reason why we went to the Turkish and Syrian borders was that in March 2011, there were a group of Syrian citizens who peacefully protested, asking the government to step down to release their people from the prison. What we have to understand, the Syrian government are Alawis, they are Shias. 70% of the Syrian population are Sunni Muslims, like you and I. Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, his army, 70% of them are Shias. Before 2011, he had a group of thugs, they called the Shabiha. They used to go to the homes of the Sunni Muslims during the night, late hours of the night, and used to wipe out entire families. This was continuing for years until the Arab Spring took place in Egypt and other countries, which gave the Syrian people some himmat, gave them some courage to peacefully protest against the government. So in March 2011, a small group of Syrian citizens, Sunni Muslims, protested peacefully, and Bashar al-Assad responded by unleashing his army against the Sunni Muslims. Due to this, the civilians were forced with the local people, foreign people, to team up against his army, and this resulted in millions of people losing their lives, millions of children losing their lives, millions of refugees leaving the Syrian borders and coming onto the Turkish side. There are approximately 2 million refugees outside Syria currently. And we don't know the correct number of how many refugees there are in Syria. So, respected brothers, Alhamdulillah, on Friday 26th of July, 17th of Ramadan, I joined Ulama-i-Kiram, few business people, a youth from the university, 10 of us, under the banner of Jamiat Ulama KZN. We left Durban International Airport just after iftar, heading towards Dubai Airport. We reached Dubai just after Seri at 5 a.m. We had a 6-hour transit in Dubai Airport. At 11 a.m. we left for our next destination, Istanbul in Turkey. We reached Turkey at about 3 p.m. Then we had a two-hour transit there for our next destination, which was Gaziantep. Gaziantep is a town very close, the border town between Turkey and Syria. It is 97 kilometers away from Aleppo. Aleppo is the largest city of Syria. Aleppo is that city in Syria which the clashes are extremely intense. We were 97 kilometers away from there. We were based in Gaziantep. We were hosted by a Turkish relief agency called Kimse Yokmu. They were our hosts and they welcomed us as we reached Gaziantep airport. Gaziantep is part of the land of Sham. Many, as I mentioned, many graves of Sahaba radiallahu an. We were led for iftar. Iftar in the Turkish and Syrian borders was at 8:30 p.m. and Seri used to end at 4 a.m. It was a 16 and a half hour fast. Through the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, we went through this. It was extremely difficult. 16 hours fast, 40 degree in peak summer heat in the Turkish and Syrian borders. We reached our hotel at midnight to wake up again at 3 a.m. for Seri. Every single morning at 8 a.m. we used to leave for our relief mission. The first day we were taken to the Kimse Yokmu, the relief agency, their warehouse, where the funds of the South African public was transferred to this agency and they prepared iftar hampers, which was our focus on the trip to distribute iftar hampers to the Syrian refugees. So we witnessed all the items which were in the iftar hampers and we went for our first mission of distribution and that was in the Kilis border. If you look at the Kilis border, it was 35 kilometers away from Aleppo. As I said, clashes are intense in Aleppo. We were advised not to enter that border. Standing at that border, with our own eyes, we had seen hundreds of people, men, women, children, crossing from the Syrian side onto the Turkish side. The first people we met was a young boy, maybe about 4 years old, with his mother holding a packet, leaving the Syrian side, coming onto the Turkish side. His father, his entire family was wiped out. They walked from Syria, crossing the border over to Turkey. Standing there, most of us just watching and observing what was going on. Some fathers walking with their daughters on their shoulders. Some mothers walking alone. Some children walking alone without their parents, leaving their parents who were martyred in Syria, crossing into a foreign land, lost, not knowing where they're going to. This was a real highlight of my trip, a real eye-opener. Thinking back at home, we left a 12-hour fast with 5-course iftar, 5-course seri, everything to go for us, wealth, health, deen. Now we're standing in an Islamic state, standing at the border and seeing families crossing over, single parents crossing over, children 4 or 5 years old crossing over, some children smiling, looking at us with excitement, not knowing where they're going to, why they're leaving their country. They're leaving their home country, not knowing why. Everyone quietly crossing over the border. Near the border, we distributed iftar hampers. Syrian refugees were given permission from the Turkish government to use the abandoned buildings on the Turkish side. On this point, I must mention the Turkish government has gone all out to assist the Syrian refugees. They have established many, many refugee camps which host about 10,000 Syrian refugees. So they have gone all out to assist the refugees. There were some abandoned buildings which these refugees are staying in. And at that place, we began distributing when we came across a family of about 8 to 10 young boys at the ages of 4 or 5, some babies, living with their mothers. So 10 different families living with their mothers in one room. And when we interviewed them, we were told that every single one of their fathers are martyred. All the children surrounding us, clinging onto us, happy to see young males reminding them of their fathers and brothers which they had a few days ago. Now, they left their country with only the clothes that they're wearing on themselves.
staying in a foreign land with their mothers, starting a new life without their fathers. That was another highlight of my trip, thinking back at home of the luxuries our children are living in. We have to understand that these people, these children were just like our children. Going to school, these people had businesses, they were professionals. And they had everything going for them as well. But overnight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their conditions. Allah must save us and save this country as well. Another stop we made at Kilis was a park like our botanical gardens, which 2,500 refugees sought refuge at this park. The Turkish government gave them permission to use the park. They had to make their own tents with their blankets and sheets. They had no food whatsoever. No food whatsoever. No clothing whatsoever. When we were taken there, there was a soup kitchen arranged by our Turkish relief partner, relief agency, which we helped to distribute iftar. As I said, whichever refugee camp we visited, the children were so happy and excited to see us. And this was the sign that they show us. This is not the peace sign. This means the index finger is shahadat, and the middle finger means freedom. Either they will get shahadat, or they will get freedom. This was the spirit they had. And every single refugee we spoke to, they said, inshallah, we're going back home. So we took a tour into the refugee camp. We were guided by the children of the refugee camp who took us to their tents, took us to their tents where they sleep. 1 meter by 1 meter size homes made with their own blankets. And we came across a woman preparing iftar for her family. She had a pot of boiling water, boiling some potatoes for her children. That was her iftar. All the refugees, 90% of the refugees were women and children. The other 10% were old men, and the rest of the males are either fighting or they have been martyred. So these women have no clothes, no food, and we assisted to distribute iftar hampers there. Then the next day we went to a place along the border called Nizip. Nizip was such a place that the women were crying to us for formula milk for their babies. Women were crying for formula milk. One woman had said, there were months have passed, my baby hasn't had formula milk. We had went with iftar packs with one focus. We tried to assure them, inshallah, a group will come and give them the supplies of formula milk. And women were crying out that Baba Shaheed, their children, their fathers have all become Shaheed. We went and visited a hospital where we visited the wounded, the injured, some of them without limbs, most of them paralyzed from waist to the bottom. Some of them have become mentally disabled because of the bullets hitting certain nerves on their bodies. Mentally disabled, like cabbages they were looking. Most of them had urine bags. These are not talking about 60, 70-year-old men, 20, 25-year-old youngsters. We visited another town, Mardin. Mardin was in the border of Iraq, border of Turkey, and border of Syria. This was an extremely, extremely old town. Alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune. There was a Sayyid family living in this town who gifted a certain masjid the blessed Mubarak hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his footprint. And alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune of witnessing that. We were hosted by an Iraqi family at their farm. Their farm was facing Syria. Another highlight of my trip, just about partaking of iftar. I'm sitting in the masjid, not speaking any lies. Just before partaking in iftar, they used to judge the time of iftar through the sunset, because we were in a farm. Just as partaking of iftar, we saw black smoke in the skies in front of us. And we were told by the host that that was due to the bombings taking place on the Syrian people during the time of iftar. Respected brothers, we also visited a school, a Turkish school. It was 3 months of Turkish holidays, and the Turkish government had advised and encouraged the educators to stay in their schools, continue teaching, to help the Syrian children cover up their syllabus. So we visited the schools. Alhamdulillah, we made the children read for us Quran as well. Just a few days ago, another calamity has fallen on the Syrian people, the chemical warfare. Watching a video, a young baby, about 2 years old, affected by the effects of this chemical warfare. Doctors trying to revive this baby. Mother and father on the side. Baby is battling to breathe. They got an oxygen mask on the baby's face. Baby is frothing, making noises. This is the condition of the people in Syria at present. Respected brothers, here at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us every single thing. We've got the best of masajid, best of homes. Allah has given us wealth. Allah has given us health. Allah has given us, our children got the best of schools, best of education. But we are not appreciating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Ulama have mentioned that the South African public, due to their generosity, Allah is saving this country from azab. Due to the generosity of the South African public, Allah is saving us from azab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, خَيْرٌ nas أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to the people. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, once Bani Mudhar came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bani Mudhar were disbelievers, were non-Muslims. They came for assistance by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhu to help these people, give them some assistance. Sahaba radiallahu anhu started bringing food. And when the piles of food got higher and higher, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became excited and happy. This was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became happy when Sahaba radiallahu anhu were giving assistance to kuffar. Imagine what joy it would bring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we help our Muslim brothers across the globe. We should all make this effort to change our lives, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very, very difficult times on his ummah. As I said, these are events, all events which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have already told us about. These are all events leading up to the major signs of Qiyamah. This is an eye-opener for us. It is a test for the Syrian people, a test for us also. Are we going to appreciate the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this country? We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to turn back and come in the company of the ulama-i-kiram, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to come back to the masjid. Respected brothers, tomorrow it could be our turn. Allah save every single one of us. Allah save this country and the entire Muslim ummah. But we need to turn to Allah to show Allah the shukr, the shukriya. We need to show Allah that we appreciate that all the bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith he mentioned that person is guaranteed forgiveness. Mujibatul maghfira, guaranteed forgiveness. If he puts a smile, if he makes a Muslim brother happy. What joy it brings when you were giving these refugees, the children, sweets. We're giving them food. We're giving them juices. Respected brothers, another hadith Nabi mentions, when one part of the Muslim ummah suffers, the rest of the parts of the Muslim ummah should feel the pain. There are many, many organizations doing this great work, humanitarian work. Inshallah, we should all make an effort to contribute in whatever way we can, inshallah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, to ease the difficulties of the Muslim ummah across the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.